I actually changed up my lesson yesterday after got multiple phone calls of people going out of town, sort of short notice, or being sent out of town short notice, and I'm going to have to do the same thing with this evening's lesson, because some of the lessons that I prepared for today here were requested lessons, or lessons that I've put quite a bit of time in on. As part of like a series, something we've got so many away. I sort of come up with something on short notice, and I hate to do that to y'all. You know, y'all expect a little better of me than that, but just trying to sort of meet the need of everybody. But turn with me to Proverbs. In Proverbs, you know, there's so many topics. You know, Solomon, you know, placed so many topics in here, so many things that, you know, he wanted to get across to his son in particular. You know, and so there's so much that we can glean from Proverbs. We actually, you know, brought this up this past week. Proverbs 1, you know, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. One of the biggest topics in Proverbs is the ideal of gaining knowledge, having knowledge, seeking out knowledge, and not just worldly knowledge, but the knowledge of God, what God expects of us, the way God views things. And what I've done for this morning's lesson is really just take three of the topics that continue to crop up over and over. And oftentimes those three topics, they're even listed side by side or verse by verse within this. So, you know, Solomon is making the point that, you know, I think that some of these go hand in hand. And those three topics are the tongue, pride, and anger. And that's the title that we're looking for, the tongue, pride, and anger. And then those things, like I said, they go hand in hand. And you'll notice that, especially if you're writing down verses, you'll be able to look back and say, oh, you know, like chapter 17, there's some in each one of those. Or chapter 29, there's some in each one of those. And that's the reason. They go hand in hand. And I truly believe that. You know, oftentimes the problems we have with our tongue, they arise because of our pride. Or our pride causes us to get angry over something, then we lose control of our tongue. Or we say something, you know, because of our pride, and then somebody rebukes that, gets back to us, then we're angry about that. They go such hand in hand that I think that's why we see them wrote side by side in so much of this Proverbs here. So let's just start with the tongue, and let's go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, and let's read the first two verses to begin with, and then we're going to skip down to verse 4. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2, and then verse 4. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. And then verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Notice just within this, we've got wrath, we got anger, and it's all tied to our speaking, our tongue. And verse 2, it says, well, you know, the tongue of the wise, you the knowledge aright. The wise individual is the one that understands, and they're going to take a minute, they're going to take a moment before they speak. I know I can use that myself, the ideal of slowing down a moment, thinking through what you're about to say, how you're going to act, and making sure that it's aright. And I am using the King James Version today for those that's trying to follow along and look. But notice it says the mouth of fools just pour out foolishness. Our tongue gets us in so much trouble, and oftentimes it is just foolishness that we spit out. You know, Terrence was talking, you know, the ideal of when we leave here and we're interacting with others in the world and the trouble we get ourselves into, our tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. And oftentimes it's because we don't think, we just spit things out. One thing I've said about like Facebook and these other social media things, you know, you'll read these posts and different things, and I've got where I don't even go on Facebook no more. I don't go to any of them anymore. But you want to type, you want to react, you want to say something. And this is what I've told people for quite a while. Type it out. Type it on out there like you want to say your piece. Look at it, read through it, delete the whole thing and move on. I think that's the best thing you can do with that. You know, you're not going to get yourself in trouble. You sort of got it out of your system. You know, you said your piece in a sense. Let it go. Delete it and move on. And that's because things don't need to be said, you know. And if we think about it, you know, and most time if you read through what you wrote, you're probably already going to make the decision you needed to delete it before you sent it anyhow. But, you know, when we say tongue here, you know, that's all they had. Yeah, they had writing and, you know, writing letters. That's same as the way we speak. And then today, all of our internet stuff that we write and we send, that's the same as opening our mouth. It's communication. And, you know, communication, it'll either, you know, make us look wise and we'll stay upright, or we'll look like the fool. So, you know, we got to be careful with that tongue. You know, and it says in verse 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. You know, that's the use of the tongue just in our normal speaking. If you can stay calm, you can use calm words, even in a bad situation, even in a tough situation, it will calm things down. Being a geometry teacher online, I often have parents that are upset. Their child has cheated on the material. The parent's mad because that had to be turned into the school. The school is bringing down some discipline on them. The parents are mad. And one thing I learned really quick, if you stay really calm, you know, you don't lose your cool. You know, you just stay calm and talk it through real slow and easy. Most of the time, the parents come to the conclusion their child was wrong anyhow, and they will calm down. So yeah, you know, in life, you know, even in tense situations, if we can learn to control our tongue, it'll fix a lot of problems. Let's go to chapter 17. Chapter 17, and let's look at verse 28. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. I've told myself this multiple times and needed to have told myself this so many more. But verse 28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know, too many times I've needed to just keep my mouth shut. But I've told myself this multiple times in life. You know, you get ready to say something like, no, just, you know, remember, if you keep your mouth shut, you're thought to be smarter than you are because they don't know. But if you open your mouth, you're going to show them exactly what you know. You know, it's just good guidance in general. The ideal of just taking a moment to think through what you're going to say. And sometimes if you take that moment, you won't say a thing because you know you shouldn't say a thing. And we go with some of these others, you know, pride. If we're full of pride, we're going to want to say something. Why? Because we think so much of our own. We think so much of our own thoughts. We think so much of our own knowledge. We think so much of our own words. We think that those words are needed. Why? Because we think so much of ourselves. But, you know, if you think it through a little bit and say, are these needed? Are they beneficial words? Are they useful words? Are they constructive words? Are they better for the other individual, not better for myself, to make me feel better about myself? You may not say them. Let's jump to chapter 18. We actually got quite a few verses in chapter 18. Let's look at verse 4. Probably on the same page you're on. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. So notice, you know, you can't have this ideal of wisdom and pouring out wisdom and it being great. But notice, the words of a man's mouth are as deep water. You ever heard somebody say, you know, you got yourself in some hot water, or you know, that was deep, you know, somebody say that? Our mouth can cause so much trouble. You know, you say you're digging you a hole you can't get out of. Yeah, that's because our mouth is flopping. Our jaws are flopping, and we just dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, here that's the same thing. There's so much that can be said. There's so much good that can be accomplished with the mouth. Or there's so much evil. There's so much destruction. There's so much wrong that can happen. Verses 6 and 8, you know, Solomon brings up this ideal of speaking again. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of talebearers are wombs, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Notice, you know, everything he's talking about here is just destruction. And he labels this individual, the individual that cannot control their lips, cannot control their tongue, their mouth, their words, you're the fool. Only a fool just lets their mouth go nonstop and never checks their words. I too say I'm guilty of this. I've been guilty of this. It is so easy to just say the first thing that comes to your mind. So easy. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now that's pretty strong words right there. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Think about that, how strong that is. The ideal of the mouth, using our words, can either take and bring life or death. I think about that often, you know, even when writing lessons and really working on that. The ideal of, you know, the things that you say, you know, are they going to take and strengthen people and bring them closer to God for a spiritual life? Or would it be things that you say or say them in a way that pushes people further away? You know, and I'm not talking about the ideal of keeping from saying what you need to say, you know, teaching the truth. Everything has to be taught on from the scriptures. But there's a way to say things. There's a time to say things. Even like the ideal of why I've got a lesson along this lines, no PowerPoint, you know, one that's a little bit more on simplistic terms. Well, there's a reason that I needed to do this. The things that I've had prepared for today, today's not the day to say them. Another day is the day to say them. You know, and that's just the ideal of taking a minute and thinking about what needs to be said and when to say it and how to say it. But the strength of that statement, the severity of that statement should let us understand when we speak, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. That's a big sway from one side to the other, isn't it? You know, but we're very quick to speak. And if we took a moment to weigh that what you say in this moment could cause someone to head closer toward life. And this could even be physical life. You know, we need to understand that. There are people in this world that are just teetering on keeping a normal life. Just teetering. You know, I find that out, you know, quite often dealing with teenagers, you know, at the high school level, teaching on geometry. So often parents will bring up statements and you're like, wow, you know, that kid is really struggling. You know, and then you bring up like, you know, the DBA, like that verbal test over the phone. And you have to tell yourself, you know, if they are struggling, if I am overly, you know, sort of gruff or rough about it, even if they don't know the material, that might be the day that I tip them over. Because some of them are that bad. Some of them are struggling that bad in life. So even physically, life and death. You know, I've had parents write back and say, you've made a big difference today. And I'm thinking, why? And then it dawns on me, that child has been struggling. I know they've been struggling. Today was a bad day. They got through my phone call, it made it a good day. Think about that. With every single person you come in contact with, your tongue can make it a good day or a bad day. Life or death. Physically, life or death, spiritually. What you have to say could take and bring someone closer to God, or push them further away. Your tongue. Chapter 21. Let's look at verse 23. Chapter 21. Verse 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. So last verse. The ideal of what you say affects someone else. Well, we need to understand that everything that comes out of our mouth is going to determine our place in life or death. You know, spiritual life, making it to heaven, well done, thy good and faithful servant, or hell, depart from me. You know, that mouth of yours has done so much destruction. You have said so many things, so many perverse things, wrong things, destructive things. You know, keep it under control, you know, and it'll keep you out of a lot of troubles. Let's go to 29 and verse 20. 29 and verse 20, the last one we're going to look at on the tongue in particular. 29 and verse 20 Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? Question mark. There is more hope of a fool than of him. You know, the idea, you know, you watch a man that just spits out whatever he thinks, whatever pops in his mind. Yeah, a fool has a better hope than he does. And that's a hope in life. Because if you're going to say everything that pops in your mind, you're going to just live in trouble. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to have loved ones. You know, you're just pushing everybody further away. And yeah, you're not going to make it to heaven. You know, you're just being destructive to yourself and everybody around you. So let's talk pride. Because like I said, you know, pride oftentimes causes us to use our tongue improperly. And the biggest reason is because we think so much of ourselves, what we have to say, the knowledge we think we have, the ability to speak, whatever, our pride pushes us into that moment and then gets us in trouble. But not only that, you know, our pride hurts in every other aspect of our life. Let's jump back to chapter 16. Chapter 16. And let's look at 18 and 19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, it's better to not say something. It's better to not elevate yourself. It's better to take and have a humble spirit. You will keep yourself out of so much trouble. And we're going to see as we move along, the Lord views pride so, so poorly. You know, it is destructive. It's destructive to ourselves. It's destructive to all those around us. When we think so highly of ourselves, that means we have to think so lowly of everybody else around us. We have to elevate ourselves above everybody else. So we deem everybody else of less worth. So with that, we're not going to talk to them, you know, as equals or betters. We're not going to encourage. We're probably going to belittle more than we're going to encourage. It's destructive. Let's go to chapter 27. Chapter 27. One and two. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. A stranger, and not thine own lips. You know, that's what, you know, Solomon's trying to get across to his son. You know, and think, this is a king speaking to what would be a king to come. And he's telling him, he says, you know, yes, you know, you're the king, but you need to understand that if you set yourself up on a pinnacle, you boast of yourself, you boast of all that you're going to accomplish, all that you're going to do, really that's going to bring destruction. It's going to fall. You know, pride cometh before destruction. And that's the point he's trying to make. And we know that his son, the son that takes his throne, causes great destruction. And why? Because of pride. He goes and listens to those friends of his instead of the elderly, and he takes his friends' advice because he thinks he knows best, and look at the split in the kingdom, such destruction. But you know, here Solomon's letting them know, you know, don't boast of tomorrow, and don't give yourself all this praise. Don't boost yourself up. Don't elevate yourself. Let someone else do it. Do good. And if someone wants to say something good about that, fine. But don't do that to yourself. Let's back up to chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. So a contrast again. You know, the individual that takes and really holds himself where he belongs. You know, as equal or lesser than everybody else. Wanting to do better, wanting to encourage, wanting to strengthen, honor. Honor is going to come. You will be thought highly of because you treat people the way they should be treated. And not only people thought highly of you, but God. The honor that God bestows upon the individual that has his self-control, that understands his place, that has humility. But then we've got the other side of that, the man that's got this haughty heart, that's proud, he's puffed up. Again, that word destruction is put here with that. Only destruction is there for you. You set yourself up on a high pinnacle, you're going to fail. You're going to fall. You just need to know that. Let's go to 21. 21 and verse 24. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty Scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. So see there, we've tied these words back together again, right? You know, we've got the haughty, you know, proud, the ideal of scorner, you know, that's one that would put down or say things, different things of that nature. And then we've got wrath. That's tied right back into that. You know, the ideal of bringing anger, wrath, lashing out, whether it's with the tongue, whether it's with the fist, whatever the case may be, pride is tied with all of these. However you think of yourself leads to what you say, leads to how you interact with others. And usually if you're thinking so much of yourself and so little of everybody else, it only causes this kind of wrath or turmoil. Let's take a look at one with a little bit of humor in it to go with it. I had to chuckle when I was reading through this, but chapter 28, verse 25, I found out why I'm so fat. Proverbs 28, 25, Deanna's singing, it's because of what you eat. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So there's the point I've been making, you know, the ideal of the strife that is caused. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Yeah. So, you know, I trust the Lord in all things in life. I have for a long time. So I was like, let's throw a little humor in there because the lesson's a little tough. It is a little dry, you know. So, yeah, you know, you put your trust in the Lord, you'll be fat. So there you go. That's why I'm fat, not what I eat. But back to the proud part, the first part of that. You know, the proud heart, the one that thinks so highly of himself, they will be surrounded by strife. That's just all there is. You'll never get along with anybody. And the reason is you do not see anybody as being your equal. You see yourself as better than everybody else. And because of that, you will never have peace. You'll never have harmony. Ever. 29, next chapter over. 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So once again, the idea that if you elevate yourself, you're going to be brought down. But if you keep yourself where it belongs, then others, including God, is going to elevate you. Back up to 22, and let's look at verse 4 for the last one on this one. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, think about this. This is a king talking about, you know, these things to a future king and riches. You know, Solomon definitely had the strongest, richest kingdom within the kings, you know, the list of kings, before it split and divided because really his son that was coming up. But he's talking about true riches. He's talking about true honor. He's talking about true life. But not only just what God bestows upon us, but even in the physical life. The ideal of how you are viewed, the way that others see you. And some of these riches and some of this honor and stuff is what I just mentioned in the prior verse. You know, peace, happiness, contentment. The proud individual will never have those. They'll never be rich in those things. That's why it talks about be low, be brought low. You never have the best things in life. And that's not talking about money and wealth and cars and homes. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about the things like peace and love and joy and happiness. Yeah. Let's talk about honor, anger, honor. I just read honor, anger. Let's go to chapter 16 and let's look at verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Another word that I wrote in here beside anger in my notes is self-control. All of these things can fall in the category of needing self-control. Self-control of the way you view yourself, that inner person, how highly you think of yourself, having to control that. Control what flies out of our mouth. Control how we interact with something else that is said and done toward us. Self-control. So yeah, let's go to chapter 19 and look at verse 11. Chapter 19 and verse 11. The ideal of self-control and anger and all these things being tied together. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. All right, so the ideal of taking a minute to say something, taking a minute to interact with somebody. You know, why am I needing to say this? Why am I acting that way? You know, is it because of pride? Is it because, you know, I'm angry at something? And you know, this ideal of discretion, taking a minute and thinking through it, showing wisdom, showing knowledge, you know, that is what is needed. And if that is applied, it deferreth, it removes anger. It's going to take and fix that. All right, let's keep going. Let's do 29 and verse 22. Proverbs 29, verse 22. I've only got one more in this section right here, and then we'll wrap up. Proverbs 29, verse 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So, you know, it's like verse 23, one of the ones we just read, a man's pride. They're all tied together. They're all wrapped up together. But notice the individual that has this lack of self-control, maybe it's because of having so much pride. You know, the only thing that you have is strife. And all of that strife and all those problems and all these things is tied up leads to destruction. It leads to these transgressions, these sins, these faults that the Lord takes and looks down upon. You just continue to put yourself in a worse and worse position. The worst thing is, though, too often these individuals that are so full of pride, that misuse the tongue, that fly off the handle, they don't see that. They just see that they're better than everyone else, and it's everybody else's fault on that. One more verse about anger, chapter 14. Two more verses, one more location, I should say. Proverbs 14, we're going to look at 17 and then jump to 29. He that is soon angry, or quick-tempered, we could say, dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. And then 29, it says here, it says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Again, it's just this foolishness. You dealeth with foolish, you're seen to be foolish. The ideal is just being short-tempered, having a short fuse. Anytime you lose that self-control, the ideal of not a righteous anger like the Lord shows, but the ideal of losing self-control, that's the kind of anger that's here, saying things, doing things, acting in a way, whatever it may be, you know, it comes off as folly, it comes off as foolishness, and those around you see that, and like I said, they don't want to be your friend, they don't want to be your close companion. No, I mean, they view themselves in a way that's unacceptable to everybody else. And again, they're all tied together. Let's start closing out. Proverbs 6, a passage that most of you know, you've heard before. But these things pop up in there to let you understand, you know, it's what Solomon's trying to get across of how the Lord deems these things. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Just take a minute and read through that list and think of how so many of these are tied to pride. You know, besides the one that actually says a proud look, you know, of course there's that one. But think how much it's tied to being proud and how that pride leads to these things. Or the ideal of anger and how anger leads to these interactions with others. Or the ideal of the tongue. You know, even this lying tongue is thrown out there. But how many of these other things uses the tongue? Lying, cheating, these snares, deceitfulness. You know, these three topics that are so interwoven. If you look at this list of seven things, these are all things that the Lord absolutely hates. They're abominations in His sight, but they're so tied up one with another. And too often, we're tied up with these things. One last verse as we close out. Chapter 16, 1 through 3. Proverbs 16, 1 through 3, last verse. The preparation of the heart in man And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. All right, I wanted to bring up this passage as a way of wrapping up. Notice it talks about committing thy works or applying our works. You know, the ideal of focusing on the Lord and all that we do. And that would be the way we view ourselves, the way we view others. It would be the way he expects us to speak, the way, you know, that we interact with others, the ideal of anger, self-control. If we take and commit our works, everything that we do unto the Lord, what does the Lord expect from me in all these aspects of life? Then we are going to be in a great shape. We're going to be in a great position to hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." You know, and that's the beginning, like the preparation, that very first one. You know, plans of the heart, man. Thinking through, taking time to think about what you say, taking time to think about how you treat someone else, just taking a moment to think through things. I have to say, I'm bad for that. I'm bad for just saying things or interacting or something, just being quick on the draw with things, and that's not good. You know, as soon as you want to lash out, as soon as you want to say something, you know, take a minute and say, is it beneficial? Is it needed? Is this the best course of action? And do what's right. Or if nothing else, if you want to just narrow that down, would God be proud, you know, full of, you know, pride for me? Would he be accepting of me if I said this? If I acted in this manner, would he accept that in me? And if you have to say no on that, then don't use it. Don't say it. Don't act that way. Just take a minute. So yeah, you know, Solomon. Solomon had a lot of wisdom to apply. These are just three little topics that are interwoven, and they can become interwoven in our own lives. Today, let us learn from the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon failed in his own wisdom. He did not listen to it all the time. His son, of course, failed in the wisdom that Solomon had to give to us. But we don't have to be that individual. We can take and learn from all that Solomon had to say on these, fix those things in our life, and stand acceptable before God. This morning, this hasn't been a lesson on first principles, but if you are here and you know what it takes to become a child of God, you want to act upon those things, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, I'm happy to help you this morning. If you would like to have more information on that, please reach out and let me help. Let me talk, let me encourage, let me strengthen you in that. We'll use nothing but the words of God to see exactly what he expects of each of us. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you've turned back into the world. Take the moment to fix that. Think about your predicament. Think about your shape, your position with God, and fix it while you have time and opportunity. If we can help in either case, we're happy to. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.